Cruise it through the Arizona Hour with Sanderson Ford and Rosie on the house.
We cruised through Yuma last week. We'll spend a little bit more time next week talking about him as well, as our winner Jack from North Phoenix will be traveling to Yuma. But when we were interviewing Linda Morgan.
Very good, Romy. Well,
she had mentioned Roger Naylor went to Yuma, didn't like it, and they called him back out and said, okay, we've got to get Roger on the phone to talk about this. And Gary, you were able to track down Roger this week and get a little interview with him?
I did, but before we talk with him, Linda Morgan said this about Roger, and she's with visityuma.com last week.
Roger Naylor wrote an article in our visitor's guide because he actually tells a story that he didn't think much of Yuma. It was the only place in Arizona that he didn't really care for. And then about 10 years ago, the Visitors Bureau, I wasn't here, but they invited him to come back, and he, you know, he wanted to do right by journalism, and so he gave us another chance, and now he loves Yuma.
Okay, Roger, here's your chance to give us the rest of the story.
Well, when I first showed up in Yuma in the 70s, there was nothing for me to like about the town other than the Yuma prison, which, you know, as a Western buff, that was the most notorious hoose gal of the Old West, so I liked that. And also, I like any prison that I'm not in. It kind of validates yeah. my choices somehow. But the town itself, it drove me crazy. It was a desert community with a river running right through it, and you couldn't even access the river. It was overgrown. A big trash dumps were there. Hobo camps were lining the river. It was just a mess, just awful. And every time I would go back over the years, that's sort of the way it was. So I just quit on Yuma. I just gave up. And then once I started as a travel writer, I started writing for Arizona Highways, and later I'm writing for the Arizona Republic newspaper, and I corresponded with one of the people at Visit Yuma and say, you really need to come back. And I'm like, oh, okay. In the interest of journalistic fairness, I'll make a trip back. Hadn't been for probably 10 years. Showed up, and holy cow, what a difference. They had undertaken this massive project with all sorts of agencies working together hand in hand, a bunch of volunteers. They had cleaned up the riverfront. It looked unbelievable. They had parks, they had beaches, they had restored wetlands and planted hundreds of thousands of cottonwood trees and willows, restored that aspect of it. There were bike paths and hiking trails. It was family friendly. It was just amazing. I couldn't believe it. I'd never seen a project of that magnitude. Because I'd gotten to see the before picture, and now I got to see the after picture.
And the thing about Yuma now is that it's not just a stop on the highway. Now it's a destination.
Absolutely. That's what I say about them, and I'm always the first one to admit, you know, I was wrong. They won me over. Yuma's one of my favorite places to go, especially during the winter and spring, but I even show up there in the summer, God help me, sometimes, and it's just because once they saved the river, it expanded from there. There's such pride in the community. The downtown has been revitalized. They've started up with all these walking tours and historic trolley tours, ghost tours. There's a great little museum right there downtown I'm going to be speaking at next month. And then they started with, because this is the basis of, you know, so much winter agriculture. Over 90% of all winter vegetables consumed in the United States between November and March are grown in Yuma. So you think you've got all this land that they can't use, but then they started doing the agritourism. They'd do field to feast tours. They would do date night dinners. They would do Savor Yuma tours, farmers' wives tours, all this great stuff. So you could go out and you could tour the fields. You could actually pick some things and make a salad out of these specialized fields. Just north of town, there's the Castle Dome Mines Museum, which I always claim is the coolest place in Arizona nobody knows about.
Wow.
It's got like 50 old historic buildings, or some of them have been reconstructed and stuff from this this big boom, mining boom, back in the 1870s and 80s that carried on, and every building is just this museum itself. It's filled with artifacts, and most of these were taken from the mines and from the old buildings. The guy who bought the place rappelled down into the mines and salvaged all this stuff. You know, it's just so cool. Out in the middle of the Cofas, mountains there in the desert, and it's gorgeous. And then they just discovered, right next to it, they just opened this past year, the Hull mine.
That was actually, you wrote an article about that, and I saw the pictures, and it just blew my mind.
It's amazing. It's like being inside a kaleidoscope with these UV lights. All these colors just leap off the walls at you. So, I mean, there's so much cool stuff there. They do a tour of the old the Army base, Yuma Proving Ground, where they test so much military equipment. You can visit the museums there. And, you know, it just goes on and on. Every year I find something new. A couple of years ago I went out to Somerton, a little town south of Yuma, that they do a tamale festival in December, and it's like 30,000 people show up. It's like the Woodstock of tamale festivals. And, it's just incredible with all the great food. You just go around eating tamales all day. What's a better day than that in December?
And real quickly, I know you're going to be talking about Route 66. Tell us about that.
This is always a subject that's near and dear to my heart.
Me too.
I wrote a book called Arizona Kicks on Route 66. And I'm going to be in the Sun City West, the R.H. Johns Memorial Hall, Sun City West, January 16th at 1:30 p.m. for a free Route 66 presentation with a slideshow. And I love discussing this because Arizona, of course, is the state that saved Route 66. We have the longest unbroken stretch of Route 66 still in existence, the only national park on Route 66 is here in Arizona. There's so much cool stuff, and it's like the ultimate spring and summer fall road trip.
Okay, Roger, I know you're a busy man. You got to go out and write and explore, too. So, hey, thanks for coming on.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, that's the hardest thing about the 7 o'clock hours. We try and cover something, but we end up covering everything. There's so many things in Arizona to talk about. Roger Naylor, he's actually going to join us in a couple weeks on the 7 o'clock hour for a special broadcast. But his article in Explore Arizona, it's a section in The Republic today, is a change of place, getting acquainted with the serenity of small towns. And every town he mentioned in here, we've either sent a staycation winner to or have them have that town scheduled for a trip this year. Wilcox, Alpine, Bisbee, Greer, Patagonia.
How about Casa Grande?
And all of those, we'll come back around.
Okay.
All of those, he has a great thing of why to go visit those small towns. Don't miss surprise. And talk about, that's something that we need to make sure we're mirroring with our staycation, that all these things we're talking about, we make sure our winners have the opportunity to see those. And it's very challenging to select just one because there are so many things great going on in that state. Circling back around to Casa Grande, they have the home show going on today. Our promotion team is going to be there at the mall, but we've also got a new friend joining us in studio talking about the museum that just opened up, the Hills of Casa Grande Pioneer. Hills of Casa Grande, Pioneer Heroes of Arizona. Whew.
Museum. Right. Stephen Hill, director and curator.
I'm going to get that designated to memory soon.
It's well worth it.
Yes, I think it is. We got to get Roger to get down there and give a summary of it because I think he'd be really thrilled with it too. So let's talk about a couple more of the items and artifacts you have. I was really intrigued by the Anasazi pot you have. You know, we used to live in New River and the kids would play on the side of the hill and just bring in buckets full of little shards they'd find. So the Indian population in the Arizona area and desert even was huge.
Right.
But this pot is an entire pot. I don't think I've ever seen, they didn't piece it together, right? It was one
Right, it's
solid
one
pot.
Solid pot. Yeah, it's about the size of a 5-gallon bucket. Yeah, it's huge. Yeah, my parents, it was actually excavated in 1906 with one of the earliest excavations of the Casa Grande ruins. And at that time, you could just pick up pots off the ground out there, whole ones intact. And then it was sold a couple of times at auction through the 30s and 50s. And then it ended up, my father had it in his garage for about 25 years. But we brought it out to show the public because it is probably one of the largest pots from the Casa Grande ruins ever found.
About the size of?
Yeah, about a 5-gallon bucket.
Wow.
Yeah.
Boy, that's hard to even picture. I can't wait to see that.
How much does it weigh?
A lot. You don't fill it with water
no,
and carry it, I'm sure.
A 5-gallon plastic bucket of today, I'm sure, is nowhere near the same weight. You fill that thing up, you're moving 100-plus pounds.
Yeah, actually, interestingly, they didn't carry water too much in these pots as much as it was other foodstuffs. Most of the archaeological finds of pots, if you look inside them, they find little foodstuff particles.
So a storage.
Yeah, we actually have two Anasazi straw-woven baskets that are lined with pine tar, probably from the Prescott area. So it shows they had an extensive trade network. But also, those are what they use to carry water in.
Wow. And let's not forget to cover our mummy. That's incredible.
Mummy, yeah.
And did you where did the mummy come from?
Right. So the mummy's it came from down around the Arizona, New Mexico, Mexico border, right in the tri-state area there, east of Douglas.
Did your folks find this piece?
No, actually, no? It's on loan to us from a rancher, and who found it? Yeah, and but it's really quite incredible. We think it probably was a Spaniard that rode with Coronado in 1540.
So tell us what you see.
So when they found it, they were quick to excavate it. They called us in response to our ad looking for artifacts from Arizona Western history. And, of course, we had to take an insurance policy, and they shipped it up to us in a box made of ranch wood that they scaffolded together at the last minute. And so it's quite incredible. It's skeletal remains. It has a helmet and a breastplate on it. And you can see his teeth, and it's quite incredible, yeah.
That was one guy that never made it to Yuma. If you joined us last Saturday, right. You know that was the first recorded history, 1540, when the Spanish conquistadors entered the Yuma crossing. He didn't make it to Yuma.
Right. No, he did not. He was actually buried in
the summer heat got him.
Right.
That heavy breastplate and all that armor. Right. Should have just shedded it off, man.
Right.
And the rancher found it on his property? Is that how it happened? Wow.
Yeah, and the skeleton was buried in sand. It was dry sand inside a cave, and so it had no worms, no bacteria. And like anything else buried in clean, dry sand, it just sort of freeze-dried.
Well, in the last couple of minutes we have together, Stephen, just invite people to come. Tell them the hours, where to find you, just welcome them.
Sure. Well, yeah, we certainly are hoping that the public turns out to see our museum. We think we have one of the finest little collections in Arizona, especially of costume and clothing. We have Western artifacts, clothing, original Wild West outfits, an Avondale firefighter uniform from the 1880s, policeman's outfit from the 1890s. We have jackets and all sorts of Native American artifacts. But the main thing is the public can come here and see things that really I don't think you can see at any other museum in the entire state.
It's really great to get up close and personal with things and to be able to have a curator like you to walk you through.
Now, how does it work if I have an artifact? You said it's on loan from the rancher. If I had some piece of history to share with the museum, how I contact you and...
Absolutely. And, we can guarantee that we'll show your piece. If it's of interest, we'll definitely put it on display, which is how we've gotten a lot of little pieces donated or put on loan to us, because we guarantee the donor that it'll be shown to the public. And that's something that if you have an important piece of Arizona history, it really needs to be seen by the public.
That's the Hills of Casa Grande, Pioneer Heroes of Arizona Museum. The address, you're in downtown?
Downtown, it's 317 East 4th Street in Casa Grande.
Wonderful. Well, opening today at 11 o'clock. That's plenty of time to get down and see. I haven't been there yet, so it looks like a very interesting place on the website. You've got, it looks like a historic home this is in.
Yeah, it's actually the courthouse built in 1945, the Casa Grande Courthouse. Yeah.
So it's in a historic building as well. So
it is.
This is definitely on my my next trip south, the Hills of Casa Grande, Pioneer Heroes of Arizona Museum.
Thank you so much.